This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Orioles and Blue Jays have been rained out tonight. The weather in Charm City is awful. That game has been rescheduled for a day-night doubleheader. July 29th, game one at 12:35, game two, 6:35. So no baseball tonight, but still we can preview this series with Buck Martinez. Of course, a longtime Oriole broadcaster now doing the Blue Jays for Sportsnet. And Buck joins us courtesy of the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline. And Buck, thank you as always for your time. We appreciate it. The Blue Jays currently sitting at 8-6, but I was looking at their numbers earlier today. Buck, what do they have, 6 home runs as a team through 14 games? How are they getting it done without guys like Vladdy and Bo Bichette doing much yet?
Well, Vladdy and Bo are doing a lot. They're driving in runs. They're just not hitting any home runs.
Yeah.
And Santander, top 3 in the order don't have a home run yet, which is kind of unusual given the track record. But, you know, pitching and defense, and again, the pitching has been incredible, especially the starting pitching. And, I think we scored 3 runs in the Mets series and then won 3 out of 4 against the Boston Red Sox. So it's been kind of inconsistent offensively, but the pitching has been really, really good. That's how the Blue Jays were able to have 8 wins already.
Someone who is providing them some offense is George Springer, Buck. And George Springer struggled a ton, especially in the first half of last year. Picked it up a bit down the stretch. But do you see a bounce-back season for Springer?
Oh, absolutely. You know, George is a very proud man. He's had a heck of a career, and he's been a good player for a long time. And last year was, everybody kind of thinks, well, you know, maybe he's aging. The numbers have gone down each of the last couple of seasons. And George lives down in Florida, and he lives close to a former teammate and a very good hitting instructor, Michael Brantley. Mm. And Michael has worked with George. He's worked with Kyle Tucker. He's worked with Alex Bregman, and he has a knack for identifying what these guys need to do when they're really good. So he worked with Michael all winter long, and he's got himself in pretty good shape. He utilized what Brantley told him all spring long. He didn't have much of a spring as far as the numbers go, but he was really pleased with the process, and he's come out of the box swinging the bat great.
Talking with Buck Martinez is Inside Access here on The Fan. Since last we spoke, Buck, the Blue Jays finally got a deal done with Vlad Guerrero Jr., 14 years, $500 million. Were you confident they'd eventually get a deal done? Just your reaction to getting this deal done?
Yeah, I was up and down all winter long. I felt like it was a deal that the Blue Jays had to make. He's a homegrown kid. He was born in Canada. He's beloved by the fans. He loves the Blue Jay fans. He loves playing in Canada. And, you know, sometimes it's challenging to bring free agents to Toronto. But when they get there, they realize what a great place it is to play. And, Vladdy, he's the face of the Blue Jays franchise. He had to stay there, and I'm glad they got it done. It was a longer process than I expected it to be, but it turned out I think it's good for both parties.
Do you think something will get done with Bo Bichette as well, Buck?
Yeah, I do. I think Bo wants to stay in Toronto. I think he and Vladdy grew up together in the organization, and they always talked about winning a World Series together. So I think Bo will get it done, and Bo's off to a good start with the bat, too. He's done a terrific job swinging the bat, and he had a couple good at-bats in the Boston series. He's got 17 hits already, and I think he's back to being Bo Bichette again, a guy that led the league 2 years straight with hits and was on the verge of doing it for three in a row until he got hurt. But he's in a good spot, and he is really playing well defensively, as the entire team has played great defensively this part, at this point in the season. But, yeah, I think they'll eventually get Bo signed as well.
Buck, let's get to the pitching. And I wanted to ask you about one guy, former Oriole prospect, Easton Lucas, who has won two games for the Blue Jays early as a starter. Like, what are you seeing from him, and do you think this is sustainable?
Yeah, you know what? When we got Easton Lucas last year, he came up and made a couple of relief appearances for the Blue Jays late in September. You know, last year he played with Oakland and he played with Detroit, and just three appearances with each of those two clubs, and then two more with the Blue Jays. He's always been a reliever. When he made his first start last time out against the Washington Nationals, it was his 14th professional start and his first major league start. And he pitched like he'd been starting his whole life. Five innings, just one hit, no runs. And then he did the same thing against the Red Sox. And I think that's what everybody was waiting for. Let's see what he does against the Red Sox, because they had been so hot. They were on a five-game win streak when the Blue Jays got to town on Monday, and he pitched on Tuesday. And again, five and a third, three hits, no runs, a walk, and eight strikeouts. And he's doing it with a very, very simple approach. So fastballs where you want to throw them and mix it up with a good changeup and mix in an occasional breaking ball. And, you know, he's not a hard thrower. He just has a great delivery, and he's able to repeat his delivery consistently all throughout the course of a game.
Buck, Max Scherzer, his thumb was acting up in his first start against the Orioles. Is there any update on when he'll return?
No, there's no time frame whatsoever. He's had a cortisone shot in that joint, and he has been trying to throw. He's been playing catch, and by his own admission, the cortisone is taking longer than it normally does. So he's not on any schedule to get on the mound or any schedule to go out on a rehab start right now. He just has to get back to playing catch first.
Buck, I'm curious, what do you think of the Orioles thus far? You did see them early in the season as the opening series, four games there up in Toronto. They've yet to win a series. They sit at 5-8, and now injuries have started to mount a little bit. As Zach Eflin's going to miss some time, they're already without Grayson Rodriguez.
Well, I thought when we saw them in Toronto to open up the season, they were going to win 120 games. That's how good they look. But obviously, you know, just as we talked with the Blue Jays, starting pitching is so important to you. You've got to have good starting pitching to keep the opponents in check, and then your hitters can have a little leeway to score runs. And unfortunately, you know, you lost Eflin, you lost Rodriguez, and you lost Burns to free agency. So that's a pretty good gap to try to fill. And most teams, including the Blue Jays, don't have much depth in the minor leagues where they can just dip down and get that sixth, seventh, and eighth starter that you need during the course of a season. So, yeah, it's kind of like going around in the whole division when you look around at the rest of the teams in the division. Knock on wood, the Blue Jays are the healthiest of all five teams. And, you know, Tampa Bay's lost Josh Lowe, and the Yankees, we know how many great pitchers they've lost. And Boston's waiting on two pitchers who are rehabbing right now. So the Blue Jays are pretty good in that department. They're pretty healthy and, you know, off to a good start.
Buck, let's end with the former Oriole, Anthony Santander. He's off to a tough start. And April traditionally is his worst month of his career. But 17 strikeouts, batting 185. What have you seen out of Santander?
I think he's cold.
So am I.
We have played in terrible weather. And, you know, Anthony, like you say, he's always had a tough time getting it going. But we were playing in the rain in New York and the rain and cold in Boston. And he just hasn't been conducive to playing a lot of good baseball. And like I said, you know, I was talking to Dusty Baker the other day, and I told him about the top three in our order who were all very good hitters. I said, "You don't have a home run yet." He said, "You know what that means?" He said, "They're coming in bunches real soon." So when guys have a track record, sooner or later, they're going to get back to being who they are. And I think that's the case with all three of our top hitters, including Anthony.
Orioles and Blue Jays rained out today. They will start a two-game series now tomorrow, 4:05 first pitch at Camden Yards. Buck Martinez, part of Sportsnet, covering the Blue Jays. Buck, always great talking to you. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me. You guys have a good day and stay dry.
Thank you. Talk soon. Hey, coming up next, we'll switch to Ravens. And Nate Wiggins had a really good rookie season. But what do we expect from Nate Wiggins in year two? We're going to tell you next here on The Fan.
3 yard gain officially. Second down and 7 from the 23 yard line, moving left to right. Zappy with the pressure coming from Smith. It's picked up. Throw to the right boundary. Intercepted. Going back the other way. Nate Wiggins to the 15. Down the sideline. 10 and into the end zone. Touchdown, Ravens. The rookie cornerback, Nate Wiggins.
We knew Nate was a great athlete and a great cover guy. He's young. I mean, when you look at him, I mean, I've got two sons and, you know, I'm getting older, but I look at him and he just seems young to me. He's a tremendous athlete. He's got a very bright future. We want to get him stronger. You know, I mean, you've all seen his body. I think an offseason is going to really serve him well.
So you heard the highlight courtesy of Westwood One. Nate Wiggins pick 6, his only interception of the season against Bailey Zappe in the fight in Cleveland Browns. And then you heard Eric DaCosta talk about Wiggins, and I think Nate Wiggins had a nice rookie season. He did not give up a touchdown during the regular season. Did give up one against the Steelers in the playoffs. And he had the one pick 6. I thought he was very sticky on defense. So with that in mind, what are you expecting year two from Nate Wiggins?
I'm expecting him to take a big jump. And they sort of slow played him in terms of play time at the beginning of the year, much like they did Marlon Humphrey. And then towards the end of the year, he started 3 of the last 4 games, and he's only going to take on a bigger role now that Brandon Stevens isn't here. And Wiggins, Jason gave his numbers according to True Media, mm-hmm. and they were even better than Pro Football Reference's numbers, and these are still really, really good numbers. Just a 50% completion percentage, opposing quarterbacks when targeting Wiggins. He didn't allow a touchdown in the regular season, which is awesome. 66.7 passer rating when targeting Wiggins. He was really, really good. Now, you heard Eric DaCosta coming into the segment. He's got to put on weight.
Yeah. Well, how much can he put on is the question. He's a small-framed guy. You saw him at a training camp last year, Bone. The legs are skinny.
The legs are skinny, but you'd still like to see him put on 5 to 10 pounds. I mean, maybe even more. A very quick guy, speedy guy. What I'm looking for next year is for him to take on more of a ball-hawking mm-hmm. role. He had that pick 6. That was the final game of the regular season. But 13 passes defense. That's really, really good. He was known as a little bit of a ball hawk coming out of college. So you get the interception total number up, but I fully expect him to take a jump in year two.
I expect him to be really good. Like my only concern with Nate Wiggins is health. And he was able to stay healthy. He got trucked in that one game when he was on special teams. But beyond that, he's able to stay healthy, and I agree. He needs to get in the weight room, and he needs to change maybe his diet a little bit to put on some mass, maybe a little more protein. I don't know. But if he can stay on the field, he does not lack confidence. He will stick his nose in there, and it will do him well if he can stay healthy. I think he's going to be a very good football player for this team.
Yeah, and if they add, and we fully expect them to draft a corner, bring in another corner. They signed Chidobe Awuzie. You pair him with Wiggins, Humphrey, TJ Tampa. We'll see what Chuck Pagano can maybe unearth in terms of potential with him, because it was largely a redshirt year for him last year. You bring in one more guy, this cornerback room starts to really round into form with Wiggins taking the next step.
Coming up next, we talk NFL draft, the draft less than 2 weeks away. Lance Zierlein, he's a draft guru for NFL.com. He joins us now.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Next here on The Fan. It's almost here. The NFL draft starts 2 weeks from yesterday. Let's talk some draft now as we head up to the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline. Lance Zierlein is a draft analyst for NFL.com, and he joins us now. And Lance, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it. Lance, we've spent a lot of time on this show talking about how one of the Ravens' priorities is to get another safety so they can move Kyle Hamilton back to his Swiss Army knife role. Well, if your latest mock goes the way it goes, or the way you have it, that would help the Ravens, because Nick Amonwori would fill that role and let Kyle Hamilton go back to doing what he does so well.
Yeah, I actually think it's one of the better fits in the entire first round of the mock, and I think this is one of the – I think it's a pretty accurate – you know, I'm not saying it'll go down like this, but I spent a lot of time trying to look through salary cap implications after, you know, in next season, guys who could be cap cuts, going through team needs, looking at strategies of teams in the past, different general managers, things like that. And I also read local writers, people who I think have a feel for where the teams are to get a feel. So my mock draft takes about 7 hours. Huh. And, with Amonwori, it was really simple. I was looking at the different needs. I looked at edge rusher, but for me, Amonwori is very he's very unique because he played – number one, he's got phenomenal traits. I mean, he's big, fast, explosive. He's maybe the most impressive athlete in the entire draft, along with Shamar Stewart from Texas A&M. But what he does is he plays either safety position. He can play high safety in range. He's very fast. He's got tremendous ball skills. And then he can play down low. He's not a killer as a hitter. And, you know, he's not Kyle Hamilton. Hamilton will just completely split your wig as a hitter and you know, bone crusher. But what I like is that you can play either one of them in either direction. You can play split if you want, but it kind of defeats the purpose. I like the fact that you can match them up interchangeably, and you can really decide what you want to do based on what the other, how the other team is aligned, how the other team, what they look like from a personnel grouping standpoint. So I think it really allows the Baltimore Ravens to be very varied and unpredictable in how they guard. But I also think you got two, absolutely freak daddies on the back end. It'd be something like we've never seen before in NFL football.
Lance, I've seen a lot of mocks linking the kid from, I think it's Georgia, Malachi Starks, to the Ravens, who's another safety. But I guess you find Amonwori to be better because of the fact he can play both safety positions?
Yeah, I think he's unique in that way. I think he's got better cover talent. I think he's got better ball skills. Malachi's a good player. Malachi played over the slot this year, kind of that star position, and he was just okay. I think they kind of had him out of position, but he did it. As a team, he was a team guy. They needed it, and so he did it for them. He's better off, if you look at the 23 tape, when he's more of a split safety. He's better like that, and I think that's more how, the Ravens would use him. I think they'd have him on the back end, and they'd have him as more of a standard safety, which is fine. I just think Malachi Starks is a good player. I think his ceiling is a little bit limited. I think Amonwori doesn't always have his foot on the gas like Malachi Starks does. He needs to be motivated, self-motivated at times. And you know, it can be a little bit of a concern, but I think the Ravens locker room and that side of the defensive ball and just the organization in general, that's something that they've always been really good, is getting guys to, you know, I think crank the motor up a little bit. So rare physical talent, rare athletic traits. And then of course, size and ball skills that, you know, just Malachi Starks doesn't have. So I went with the higher upside player for the Ravens here. And I went with the traits. And I think they, you know, Ravens love traits. They also love guys with high football character. So that's, you have to consider both those guys.
Ravens certainly in the market for a safety. But Lance, you recently rated all of the position groups in this draft class, an edge and interior defensive line, both in your top three, both big needs for the Ravens. How would you compare the depth of those two position groups to classes of the past few years?
Well, I just was going through doing round projections for each position, working with some NFL sources and then doing some work myself. And it's interesting because I look, you know, I go about 4 years deep, and this edge group is on par with as deep as we've seen over the last 4 years. I mean, it's a really deep edge group. It doesn't have the same I really liked the high-end talent last year at the top of the first with some of those pass rushers. But it kind of, you know, it kind of petered out after that. It wasn't as strong once you got past that. When you look at this year's, draft, just, I'm talking edge right now. When you look at that this year, it's so much more deep in the first 3 to 4 rounds. I mean, it's got some top end talent. Certainly, I mean, obviously Abdul Carter first and foremost is way up the charts, but when you look at the rest of it, Mykael Williams has upside, not wouldn't be rated as highly as the guys last year. Mike Green from Marshall wouldn't. Donovan Easieruaku would not be. But they're all first rounders. James Pierce, some character slash maturity issues, but he's a first round talent. Nick Skirton is a guy who looks a lot like a Raven to me, and he's probably going to go in the early second. JT Maloa. From JTT, as they call him, from Ohio State. I mean, I'm looking at the list right now, and it's like, holy crap! I'm always baffled by just how are teams going to figure out when to prioritize the edge? Because I'm looking at starters in the third round right now. So you can go find starters on day two. For some teams, you're going to find, I think they're going to find a future starter potentially as late as day three in the fourth round. So I think it's a matter of it's very deep. The question is, how do you have them bunched up? Are your tier two players, do you think there's enough talent in tier two that you wait? If you're a team like the Ravens, you wait on edge and you take advantage of maybe a lighter group like the safeties. Now, defensive tackle is a good group. The edge is the deepest. For me, it's the deepest group there. I talked to a general manager who said he thinks defensive tackle is the deepest. I think that's one of the top three deepest. So regardless, it's a really good group. It's a really good group if you need defensive tackle. Depends on what types you need. But I'm looking right now from a projection standpoint. I see four with first round grades, maybe three who go in the first. And then I see another, you know, five in the second round. I see another 4 to 5 in the third round. So if you need a defensive tackle, and then, you know, it's really deep in the fifth round. The fourth round, they kind of take a little bit of a break in the fourth round on some defensive tackles, but in the fifth, you're going to find good rotational players in the fifth round this year.
Talking with Lance Erlein, Inside Access here on the Fan. Lance, let's get to the quarterbacks. I'm curious what you think of this quarterback class, and with this news that has come out in the last hour about Derek Carr and him possibly his season being in doubt, does that change maybe what the Saints are doing at 9?
It kind of has to. It kind of has to, but then again, I think there's some real, you know, I've heard some buzz about Jackson Dart with the Saints. And so there's a chance that this is something that they already know and they're already planning towards. So I don't know that it changes their ideas of what they want to do at quarterback. I think there's a good chance that they already had a feeling that they wanted to go quarterback. Now, does it change at pick 9 versus maybe trading back into the first round, as I had them doing for Jackson Dart in my last mock? Maybe so. It may change it a little bit. It may alter the priority they give it. You know, for me, I don't love this quarterback draft personally. I like Shedeur Sanders as the second quarterback. I don't know if the Saints would view him at the same level. Jackson Dart for me is not a first round pick. I think in most years, Shador is more of a second round pick. So you have to have the right grade on a quarterback if you want to draft him, because number one, they'll get you fired. If you draft quarterback in the first round, quarterback and GM, their jobs, you immediately turn over the sand, you know, the sand clock, whatever the clock there, your sand and immediately
the hourglass. Yeah.
Hourglass. There you are. The sand clock, as I like to call it. And the hourglass is ticking, the sand's leaving, because your job is on the line if you don't get the player developed. And so you gotta love a quarterback enough to draft him in the first, but it's kind of a desperation look for the Saints. And the Saints don't always operate with the, I don't think the Saints are the shrewdest draft day team. They give away picks left and right. I don't think they've been very smart with how they built teams. So it would kind of be on par for them to draft a quarterback at 9, which I think is a little early.
Last thing for you, Lance. Travis Hunter, he's saying he wants to play every single snap, wide receiver, corner. What do you see as his best position, and how do you see that snap share being divvied up in the pros?
Well, you start by saying he's taken over 2,600 snaps the last 2 years. I mean, that's the equivalent of 4 years of football. It shouldn't surprise you. I mean, he's been a starter on both sides. That's a tremendous amount of football. The problem is he's getting ready to go up against bigger, faster, stronger, more physical players in the NFL. If you put him at wide receiver, he probably takes, if he was a full-time wide receiver, he takes less hits. But some of the hits he's going to take from safety is going to be pretty substantial, but he probably takes less hits. You put him at cornerback, he has, I think, more impact as a cornerback than a wide receiver, because I like his ball skills and instincts at cornerback and ability to, I think, flip the field. I mean, you're talking about a premier wide receiver from a ball skill standpoint. Now you put that at corner. Well, if it's a 50-50 ball, the odds are in Travis Hunter's favor against a lot of the wide receivers that he'll face even on day one. I mean, he's that good when the ball's in the air. So I kind of like him at cornerback. I would play him at cornerback full-time and then give him – now, it's a little more physical because you got to tackle. So, you know, I would give him some snaps, maybe 10 to 12 snaps a game at wide receiver. And but I would not play him both ways full time. I think that's asking an awful lot. I guess if you're going to do it, you might do it earlier, you would say, from a health standpoint. But then again, I would also argue that's a lot to take on mentally and technique wise when you're trying to learn and get better that early in your career. I don't know that I love it, but you know, talking to teams, there are some teams that like him better as a wide receiver. There's some teams that like him as a corner. So I'm personally interested to see how it goes. I just have a hard time believing that NFL teams that are risk averse to durability concerns are going to play in both ways.
Lance Erline, he's a draft analyst for NFL.com. This has been great, Lance. Thank you so much for your time.
I appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Coming up next, we'll get the text of the day, and we'll most importantly get you ready for Infinity Sports Radio. Oh, also Maryland, another commit. We'll get Beltway Ben's thought real quick on the new Terp for Buzz Williams, and we'll get you ready for Infinity Sports Radio at 6 here on The Fan. Couple things real quick. Number one, there is no Oreo game tonight. It was rained out. They're playing a doubleheader in July, so hopefully that didn't freak everyone out that there's an Oreo game. There is not one. Maryland, another day, another commit for Buzz Williams. Guard Isaiah Watts committing. He transferring from Washington State, averaged 11 points, 3.7 rebounds, 2.1 assists, 2 years of eligibility, grandson of Slick Watts. Beltway Ben, what's your thoughts on another recruit? This is now 7 for Buzz.
Solid. Hopefully he is a combo guard off of the bench. I think he'll play a lot of defense. He's a fine shooter. I was looking into it. He got hurt last year. There were some rumors that he hurt his hand, and the numbers went down after that. I was looking at, so year healthy. I think it's a fine get. I don't want him starting, but coming off the bench, I think it's real good.
Every day, Buzz seems to have another commit. He's now built seven man roster so far,
and he keeps jumping up.
Beltway Ben, the numbers keep
went
going
from
up.
6 to 7.5, and
could be a big weekend in College Park too.
Maybe Monday we're in the 8.5 range for Ben.
Let's get the text of the day.
Text of the day is sponsored by Oarsman Automotives, driven by OarsmanCars.com. Your trade is always worth more at Oarsman. Text of the day comes from James in Baltimore, who says, excited to see the Orioles bring back the all-orange uni Saturday. Maybe that will provide them a spark.
I do like the all-orange.
I like it. I like it, too, to be honest. I think they're only wearing it, I thought I saw like 6 or 7 times this year. But
is that it? I thought it was going to be Saturday home games.
No. No, they're wearing the orange jerseys every Saturday home games, but I think this is more sporadic.
Oh, you mean the pants?
The pants.
Oh, I thought they were going all orange Saturday. That's bogus. Six times in 162?
That's what I think. Give the people what they want.
Way to disappoint me again,
Orioles.
It's
provocative. Yeah. It gets the people going.
Orioles disappoint
me. But tomorrow will be cool.
So. Yeah. That now I'm going in the weekend upset.
I'm sorry.
Beltway Ben, thank you so much. Coming up next. Thanks, Bowen, obviously. And
of course,
Jason,
yeah.
Wherever you are. Yeah. Coming up next. It's Infinity Sports Radio. We will talk to you on Monday at 2 o'clock here on The Fan.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.